and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 179. I'm declaring tomorrow a holiday. I'm counting in tens now. But obviously, real life isn't like that. No, we're going to be marooned for another 6 months, according to the newspapers. I know I made the fatal mistake of looking at them. My bad, but there you go. What's going on here? Number one, number two. Oh, boys, 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 don't scrap. You're both here. Fabulous. And you'll have two opportunities tomorrow to be first in. So hello, Jonathan. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? I've got a fantastic image to share. Where did I saw this on the BBC and I thought, sorry, that's got to be shared. It's a classic. It was on a story about yesterday's press conference with bad boy Boris. Come on, where we go. There he is. And you know, we have mentioned this before, haven't we? The trumping of Boris. Literally, trumping of Boris. And I think this one kind of says it all. This is a still from the image. And you know the thing underneath, hands, face, space? That definitely needs something like, and bumps a daisy, doesn't it? But here you go. Right, let's put this link in. How's that for a prime minister for you? You can't beat that, can you? Oh, I do prefer the other ones as well. Oh, yes, for our American friends. I thought we'd share some of the newspapers who have taken great delight today in Boris's, what would we say, stupidity. I thought there was a fabulous question yesterday about Christmas. So is Christmas off, Boris? And I said to Mike, there you go, there's tomorrow morning's headline. And yes, the Daily Mail went with it. But, you know, half of this wasn't what he actually said. But they don't let that bother them. So we'll start off with the Mail. If you've not seen today's papers, these are a classic. CQ Deb. No symptoms so far. Fingers crossed for you, Simon. It's quite worrying, isn't it? Because even if you think like, oh, I'm fitter and I'm healthy. When they released it months and months ago, when they said it affects the over 50s badly. Mike and I were like, yeah, no problem. Oh, you suddenly realise how old you are. Because it's just a number until they start telling you that you're decrepit. Yeah. So that worried us a bit. Stroppy individual responding. Loving it. Hello, Kim. Right, so that one was... Have I put that second one in? No, that was Boris, wasn't it? Here's one of our newspapers today. Absolute classic. So Boris has cancelled Christmas. I know it's only September, but he's cancelled Christmas. The Eye... What was that one? Oh, yes. The Eye was something that he didn't say. But in a briefing paper between him and Matt Hancock, somebody picked up on this. So this one was, these restrictions on meeting up will be for 6 months, which will nicely take us into 2021. But this was the one I really did have to share with our overseas friends. Admittedly, it's the Daily Star, which is like a rag, but that's not the point. It's pretty accurate today. Jonathan, you're going to like this one. And I'm presupposing, seeing as though you've not been out, that you won't have seen it. So there you go. Right, let's have a look at that one, the Tory scream. It's not going well, is it? It's not going well at all. And Boris thinks this moonshot thing got more ridiculous by the second. He would be spending as much on that. I'm loving that one, Simon. Actually, doesn't it look like Michael Fabricant? Just saying. We actually have MPs that look exactly like that. Did you notice he didn't actually have a mask on? Have we ever seen him wash his hands either? Just a point. It's ridiculous, but... we catch. Oh, no, we're okay. Yes, what was I talking about? Oh, the 6 months. Yeah. Oh, the moonshot. That's right. This thing's going to cost more. The moonshot thing is that everybody walks around and tests themselves every 2 seconds with some kind of portable pregnancy test. Don't ask. But apparently the bill for it would be more than the NHS cost last year. And it builds on top of the world-class, and I am quoting our Prime Minister, world-class track and trace system. The one that I have ridiculed to heck and back on MacBites. That one. Couldn't find themselves, much less anybody else. It's not going well. Let's just say it's not going well. Hello, Mrs. Simon. I believe you are in self-isolation mode. Will this end well for Simon? How many days in are you? Is it one or two? We'll do the count with you, you see. So we're 179 today, so somewhere in the 190s, I would expect. Mind you, when you're out of self-isolation, what exactly does that mean for you? You can now what? Because none of us can do much at the moment. Oh, it just goes from bad to worse. Anyway, are we planning the next 6 months? We did briefly plan this the other night, didn't we? That we're going to have quizzes. And obviously we need the MacBites Christmas party. Let's do that. The MacBites New Year party. The MacBites 1 year in lockdown party. Yeah. So basically it's going to be party time come December when our holiday is. And I am not having another holiday like last year. So as long as we can keep Mike's mum healthy and well, we'll be okay. Trouble is she's back at work. In a school. There are no words. But what can you do? She says she's enjoying it. She's enjoying being back at work. Not being in since March. Oh, Simon, you need to ask the lady now. I'm sure Mrs. Simon knows all about etchings. And I think it'll come as quite a shock to her that you didn't. You innocent boy. Anyway, what's Jonathan been up to? Are you in preparation for tomorrow, Jonathan? You really do need to claw a point back, boy. Do you have a plan? Ooh, your luck was in there, Simon. Mind you, she's a bit of a captive audience at the moment, isn't she? Looking at your etchings or otherwise. Oh, Jonathan has a plan. Oh, are we having a nap tomorrow? Is it one of your 4 day weeks? Is it going to be a real head to head tomorrow? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I'll have to make it as boring as possible so you nod off. Mike's on the promise of either one bit of demo or two. He can't make his mind up. So we'll see how that goes, because I've got to get the email out tonight. You are planning to finish at lunchtime, then go for a walk and then sleep from 2 till 8. You can't sleep from 2 till 8, Jonathan, because Maroon's on at 7. So a 5 hour nap is fine, but a 6 hour nap, no, that won't work. You'll miss a show and you'll get doctor points. You need to rethink the schedule, but apart from that. Anyway, how are you?
Knackered.
And how's our England star?
She's fine. Rumbly racket.
Yes, little madam. Little madam. Yes. Anyway, the internet's not been good today, has it?
No.
We've had lots of disruptions today. Poor Jonathan. There's his plan knackered. Yes, I was sitting here minding my own business before Mike finished for the day. So he's in the studio. And I said, excuse me, but has the internet sort of gone, but not our internet? And what the problem was, I have little thumbnails you've seen in my demos. When I go into a browser, I use speed dial. And those images that are the thumbnails for the websites, some of them are hosted on my website space and they weren't loading in. So I said, none of these are working. I'm clicking things, nothing's happening. So Mike got dragged into it. But some things were loading. So Jonathan says people at work were saying Virgin was going down. It actually, well, our Virgin wasn't down at all. It was just certain sites that couldn't get anywhere. But it turned out to be, didn't it? Which, again, should not have impacted us. That it was Virgin's DNS went down. So it wasn't a connection going down. it was their DNS going down, but we don't use their DNS. So how did that happen? We're not sure. We use Google DNS. But eventually, so at this stage, it was like, oh dear, because Mike had a webinar and obviously we've got MacBytes FM and Marooned. So we came up with plan B quickly, which caused a right ruckus, didn't it, in Notion, where I found we had three ways to get to the wiki and somebody, no names mentioned, but it wasn't me, and Lola doesn't have access, so you can draw your own conclusions from that, had put some extra notes underneath the wiki, not inside the wiki database, underneath the wiki, in the engine room. The last place on the planet I'm going to look.
Well, they've always been there.
That doesn't make it right,
well,
does
no,
it?
No, actually, they were in a page of their own and we moved them there.
They should
just move them there for now, she said.
Oh, do you see how I'm getting the blame now? Trust me on this, it was his fault.
Well, I wouldn't stick them in the engine room, would I?
Well, clearly you did.
Well, I don't know why.
No, neither do I. That's something we can agree on. Anyway, we found the link eventually to, there's two links. There's one link that Mike gave Jonathan, so Jonathan can listen in an app. So if you want to listen while you're out in VLC, you need this particular link.
That's what I do.
But there's another link, which is just the player. So we wouldn't have any chat because the website wouldn't be up, but we would have the little white player with the blue live flash on it. We would have that in a page of its own. So we extracted that in the case of an emergency. Once we'd all settled down and everything was fine, that's back on track. Okay, that's working. We then went on to the next crisis, didn't we? That you went next door to sort out your delivery of a webinar to find out that, was it WebEx?
Yeah, they had a problem with WebEx.
WebEx was down, so that wasn't working. So it's been a bit of a day, hasn't it, on the tech front?
Yeah.
No, better today than tomorrow, though, I find. Oh, we need Kim. We need the umpire in. Right, serious question. If the show can't happen because YouTube's down, what happens to the point? Does it go into suspended animation? Obviously, Jonathan was going to make a claim for this.
Why would someone do that at Mike? Why would someone do what?
Put it underneath the database, not in the database.
Oh, because I don't know what I'm doing. That's why I don't teach Notion.
It's all right. It'll be put in the wiki now I know it's there.
Stick to Excel.
We also don't need three different ways to get to the wiki data.
Or three steps to heaven.
I'm loving that.
That's the name of the show.
Really? If no show, no point to be had by either party. Here endeth the lesson from umpire Kim. Okay. No, Jonathan. She's not showing you any favours.
Well, pools panel result.
If it was a pools panel result, it goes on form and Jonathan stands no chance. I'm quite happy with the pools panel result.
Kim won't know what pools panel is.
They must have something similar to the pools panel in the States.
We don't have the pools anymore, do we?
We do have the pools panel.
Do we?
I don't think it's called the pools panel anymore. No. But yeah, they still do the pools, don't they?
I have no idea. Oh, they might.
Why don't you explain
The pools started many, many, many years ago.
Wasn't it Littlewood?
Yeah, it was probably because it was based in Liverpool, hence the pools. And the idea is that you get this form. I guess it's a soccer version of the lottery. You get this form each week and it has the weekend's football fixtures on.
That's when they used to be on the same day on a Saturday. Yeah.
And what you did is you guessed what results would be and what the scores would be.
He means predicted. It was quite a science in its day.
Yeah. And then if you got a certain percentage right, you could win like £1 million.
Wasn't it? It was the score draws.
It was something to do with score draws, yeah.
You put a cross in a box for a particular match if you thought it was going to be a score draw. And what we mean by that is 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4. I think you got like half points home and away and all that kind of stuff. But that was the basics of it, wasn't it?
Mind you, I'm thinking Johnny might not know what the pools panel is.
Jonathan's not that old. He's our millennial, you know.
Because my mum used to do it and that was about 40 years ago.
Oh, Dad used to do it. Pools man used to come to the door.
Yeah.
But they were agents for the pools, weren't they? There was Littlewoods and there was another one. Dad went with the other one. But you used to hand over the coupon, which you'd put your crosses next to the matches, and the money to play. So in that respect, it was very similar to a lottery ticket. But the odds of you winning were pretty slim, weren't they?
Yeah.
And what some pools agents were known to do was not actually send the ticket in and just pocket the money. And obviously, the only time that was found out was if you won, only you hadn't, because he hadn't put the ticket in. No, it never happened to Dad.
But now, going back to the pools panel, if a match was postponed, usually because of bad weather, there was a group of...
It had to be a certain number of matches that were postponed.
Yeah, there was a bad weather. There's a group of people, old men probably.
Oh, yeah. And white, in their 60s, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. At least 70s, 80s. And they would sit around a table. I mean, these days they do it through Zoom, but they'd sit around a table and they would discuss what the score would be. So they were known as the pools panel, because it was a panel of people, you know, deciding on the result. So on a Saturday evening, when on the TV, on BBC One, they would read out the football scores. This was when all games kicked off at 3 o'clock, like you said. It would be Manchester United against Liverpool. Pools panel result, score draw. Chelsea against Tottenham. Pools panel result, away win. They never actually predicted the score, did they?
No.
It was
no.
Just whether it was going to be a score draw or a home win or an away win or whatever. Spot the ball. I remember spot the ball.
Oh, that's a classic. Have you got the other one, Simon? The one with...
Yeah, Simon will remember Pools panel.
Have you got the other one with Gazza and Vinnie Jones? You could spot the ball on that one as well. Do you know you'd be off for that these days, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Nice Puma boots. But yeah, you'd be off for that these days.
I used to have Puma boots.
Love Puma.
But I never cleaned them, got in trouble.
God, I would. My mother would have gone mad if I'd bought muddy football boots in. No, they were cleaned outside, trust me. Do you know what I did used to do, which was a bit naughty looking back? My dad was anal when it came to shoes. He would polish his shoes like he was in the army. And he never had been in the army. So I'd come in with, like, my hockey kit, and it would be caked from head to toe in mud. Mum would look at the white shirt with, like, you expect me to get that clean? And I'm like, yes, Mum, but you're so good, Mum. So she'd sort that out. And he'd see these muddy boots, and I'd put them outside, and I'd say to Mum, I'm waiting for them to dry. That way the mud won't smear when I clean them. I'll be able to knock it off. And he couldn't leave them. He'd sit there twitching, looking at these boots, and before you knew it, he was outside cleaning them. So when I went out, I'd say, oh, look, Mum, Dad's cleaned the boots. And she knew. Oh, she knew. She said, well, you know, he's done a good job. Leave him to it. Keeps him quiet.
No, I wasn't calling you an old man, Kim. I was saying, see, I've got myself in trouble now.
You have, yeah.
I'll dig myself out of it. No, I was saying that about 30 years ago, soccer was run by, to quote Will Carling, old farts.
Oh, yes. It still is, to be honest.
Old guys who didn't have a clue, totally not up with a modern era. It's like you said about judges, isn't it?
Mm.
So that's what I was saying.
No. Kim's really on the ball.
Kim's with it.
She's a happy bunny because tonight she's got football.
Yeah, we haven't.
No, we haven't. Not yet. But it is starting on Saturday. New season starts on Saturday. Which means I've got a heck of a lot of work to do before then, haven't I? But it'll get done. Just stick a smile on your face. It'll get done at some point. Oh, I've got a serious question about tomorrow. How interested would you be in a workflow? Because I'm trying to put this email together, aren't I? And it's hard to describe what it is I'm attempting to do.
So hopefully I've redeemed myself, Kim.
Oh, you're nearer an old fart than she is. Just saying. No, Kim's incredibly on the ball.
I feel like an old fart after being run around by a five-year-old dog.
Yeah, but she's at the prime of her footballing career, isn't she?
No, she's 35 in dog years.
It's all right. She doesn't look it. Doesn't act it either.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, she came in and she's...
Oh, thanks, Kim.
She came in and she's on the floor, isn't she, going, and I said, I think she wants the toilet. Gets her outside. Toilet? No, I don't think so. Where's the ball? Let's play. No wonder Mike's run off his feet.
Johnny, that's the problem I had earlier. I couldn't remember. I what did I talk about? Flat packing.
Oh, God, yes. Mike said, we could talk about flat packing. I said, what are you talking about? I said, do you mean flat planning? And he went, that's the one.
And then I said, you store your graphics in Scrivener, don't you? And about 30 seconds later.
I'm good, mate. I'm very, very good. No, just a workflow where, like a project workflow. So instead of doing like feature-based, this is Devon thinking it's got this feature and this feature and this feature, kind of this is the project and this is what I intend to use, and it would be more than one app.
Kim's talking about workflow in Alfred.
Yes, because I mentioned a workflow, you see.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Is it Alfred? Let me have a look. They updated on Tuesday, according to my change list. No, not particularly workflows in Alfred. Workflows generally of like, this is the outcome that I want, be it a Word document or whatever, and how are we going to get there? Yes, you see, Kim says, I enjoy seeing how you do things. There you go. So we could do that. It's how to actually explain what it is. I'll have to ponder that a bit. But it needs to be something genuine, because then we'll hit brick walls and there'll be naughty words said. And even more naughty words whispered. And we'll have to get past it because there is an outcome that's desired, basically. I mean, at the minute, I know what the outcome is, but I've no idea how I would be getting there via the applications. So it's that kind of workflow. That would be the plan anyway. Oh, also, because Jonathan, I'm on fire, not forgetting anything. How many of you use Evernote? Straw poll. Give me a yes you do use Evernote, or a no you don't. And then what do you use for note taking? And you are allowed to use more than one, obviously. I use about 20. But that's me, isn't it? Always good to learn new ways of approaching projects. Exactly, Mrs. Simon. Kim has it, doesn't use it. Used to use Evernote when I was a student, don't anymore. That's what I'm seeing with Evernote. People are like leaving in droves. And even those that are using it are saying like, oh, it's the dinosaur. And I stopped adding new content in terms of notes. So I would not go into Evernote and say new note and start typing stuff in a long time ago. I did keep it for clipping stuff because the clipper's very good. But I went in and had to play around with it. It has actually improved greatly. A dusty and unused version of Evernote.
I've got one of those, Mrs. ST. Join the club.
And Kim uses a pad and pencil for note-taking.
I've got that as well.
So have I. I'm very bad with that. I am. Very
well, we
bad.
We know all about your...
My arc.
No.
Which?
Post-it notes.
Oh, my post-it notes are legendary. Gone through another 3 packets this week. I'm legendary with my post-it notes. But you know what? If it works... I mean, look at all the content that's getting put out. It works. True. I've actually got a post-it note here with two words on it that's a blog post idea. So that one sat over there for adding. And I've got that one there because I've got a book for a webinar. Only they didn't give a link. Stupidly, they said, I've got a webinar on Friday. You need to attend that. It's for this course that I'm doing. And they didn't give a link for it. So now I've got to go and find it, which doesn't make me happy. And my ARC notebook. Well, my ARC notebook is legendary, isn't it? Thing with an ARC notebook is it's fantastic. You know, when you're making rough notes and you can move the pages around. The ARC part of it used to be from Staples. You can still create an ARC notebook today. If you go to, I mean, the prices on Amazon are absolutely ridiculous. But you can get an extra rings. So, you know, these ring bound planners, you can actually buy a packet of rings and there's 11 rings in the packet. You can then, if you've got the hole punch the paper, then you only need a front and back cover. And to do that's really simple. Just laminate something and then you've got yourself an ARC notebook. I'm just terrible at like making sure that everything that's in the ARC notebook gets transferred on at least a weekly basis. There's stuff in here going back about 4 weeks. And it sits here on my desk with me just adding more pages until they don't turn anymore. I'm bad. But I do get the stuff that needs to be digitized, you know, stored in a digital format, in a digital format. And the ARC pages, I can actually scan them. Now my scanner's working again. And I can put them in that way. So, yes.
That looks like me with an air guitar, Simon.
So Deb says, don't use it for notes, but do for clipping. That's the thing. The clipper is really good. The clipper has improved over the years. And when you go into the actual notes, I always clip it as a simple article, simplified article. I don't try and get it to look like it looked on the page. I'm only interested in the information, which is interesting because there's one website that I use. It's for Mac stuff. There's that many adverts, I can't find the story. Sometimes I think, oh, right, that was where that story finished. Because there's this huge advert and then there's an audio playing and video playing and I've stopped that. When I capture it to Evernote, there's like two more paragraphs. And I'm like, where were they? Literally, I could not see that in the story because there were so many adverts. And it cuts all of that out. Now, I can, of course, clip to Notion. But sometimes I don't particularly want to shuffle it around in Notion. I want it as like, oh, that's reference. I'd want to go in. So I think I use Evernote as kind of a storage repository for things that may be useful one day, but not particularly, and I need to read that today. If it was something I needed to read today, I would probably put it into Notion. It's actually hard. In my head, I seem to instinctively know where something should go. But if I had to try and explain it, it's all a bit illogical. But again, that could just be me. Right, what has Simon got here? Is this the Vinnie Jones the one?
No, we couldn't find that one.
Oh, it's got to be there. is that one a bit easier? Come on, the Vinnie Jones one. Vinnie Jones and Gaza. And do put the two Z's in. There you go. There's the Vinnie Jones and Gaza one. Let's get the biggest one we can so you can see what's going on. This was not a put-up job. This was actually in a match. So let's get that one. Vinnie Jones was known as a hard man in football terms. Intimidating the opposition, shall we say. And this was him in the middle of a match with Paul Gascoigne. There's a whole series of these pictures, you know. I believe Vinnie Jones is a lovely, lovely bloke. But, you know, depends if you're on the back end of one of those,
isn't
it?
Did his wife die?
She did. Yeah. She did, and he was gutted. No, I believe he's a decent bloke. But, you know, if you were playing against him, it was a bit... oh, what's the other fella? Norman Hunter. Norman Bite Your Legs Hunter. Oh, so Paul's looking forward to it starting. I don't know many teams. The only ones I look up are when Kim tells me that her team are playing. And I put it into Google and you get like at the top of the Google results, there's like an automatically updating thing so I can see it. The 49ers. Where are they based? Is that San Francisco? Let's see if I'm right. Oh, look at that. San Francisco 49ers. Amazing. Now, and then the Seattle one's the Seahawks, isn't it? Make sure I've got the right sport. Yes, the Seattle Seahawks. That's right, with the logo, with the bird on it. The birdie logo. Excellent. Oh, Kim's biggest rivals. Oh, dear, oh, dear. So your game is Sunday. Oh, Seahawks and the Falcons. Or is this an old one? No, that looks like the next game, I think. It says preview. Excellent. Now, the Falcons. Where are they from?
San Francisco.
I think.
Oh, no, it's the 49ers.
The 49ers. The Falcons.
All four. Atlanta.
The Atlanta Falcons. You know, we have a quiz over here on the TV. A question of sport. And there's a lot of questions where they'll say, right, then we'll look at some NTFs, NFL stuff. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't know any of them. And now I know three. The next time that comes on, I'm going to be red hot with it. Could be the start of composition. Ooh. How are they keeping themselves safe with the COVID thing? I mean, obviously, that's gone so well over here with the England team. So funny. We're not even talking about it. What happened to those players when they got back? Did they get reprimanded?
Probably.
I think they should just be locked up forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd work. I'm looking there. Now, the Vikings as well. I've heard the Vikings. But where are they from? Minnesota. No, I'm not going to remember that. I love the names. We have... they've started doing that, haven't they? Because we've got the Sale Sharks.
Yeah.
Which isn't football, as I know of. It's rugby, isn't it? And the Sharks rugby.
Sharks is rugby.
Yeah. But they've started trying to give them trendy names, like the Tigers. And what's the one in... the Chiefs. The Exeter Chiefs.
Whoa.
Yeah. Before the games, they do this kind of Indian thing. Whoa. And Nina loves it. That's why she supports them. She wants locking up that woman. Because obviously Chidge supports the Sharks. But Nina will sit and watch. They actually went, didn't they, when they were down in Birmingham?
Yeah, I think they did.
He took her to a game and the Chiefs were playing. Everyone else was supporting, obviously, the home team. And she's there supporting the Chiefs. Nina knows no fear. Oh, dear, you're going to go and watch it with a friend, but you're self-isolating. Yeah, can you Zoom it? Could you share the experience and just Zoom it? The players have been staying in a hotel away from everyone and tested every day. That's the way to do it, I think. But it must be quite difficult because they've got families as well. They must be spending some time with their families. And then that's how it happens, isn't it? One person does something stupid and before you know it, you've got an outbreak. I think the news mentioned an outbreak somewhere today. Wasn't where you would have thought. It was around a particular building or something like that. And I remember thinking, utterly ridiculous. Let's have a look. I read that as Gove, but it says the government. No, but it seems Newcastle University have been hit by the pandemic and a cyber attack. Did anybody get really hurt in that bridge accident today? I mean, this just shows you stupidity. You know, there's a lot of talk about the children going back to school and whether it's a good idea or not.
Well, oh, the bus.
Yeah. This is one of a UK bus, you know, the big red buses. This is what happened to it this morning. And you worried about COVID.
Yeah, kids were hurt.
Yeah, but how seriously? Because obviously...
Three were seriously injured.
I mean, I can only imagine it actually ripped the top off the bus because you went through a tunnel that wasn't tall enough. I mean, really? It doesn't show you on there, but bridges in this country, if they are lower than a bus, they have these huge red signs on them giving you the height on it and warning you that, you know, no buses because you can't get it through. Mind you, what I will say is the ones who tend to go upstairs are the real gobby ones, aren't they? The cool kids. Yeah. I was always at the bottom myself, sat next to the driver, thinking it was the safest place to be. But, you know, if you didn't see that coming, I can only imagine how badly injured they are. The bus took a wrong turn because it was late. I mean, what's late got to do with taking a wrong turn? It might have been 10 minutes late, so it took a different route, tried to take a shortcut, and it didn't go well. Yeah, understatement. I don't know how he's managed that, unless he thought he would just squeeze through. But you can see how much of the top of the bus has come off, virtually all of it. So he should have known. There was no way he was getting through there. But you know, if it's not something like that, that's not the first time that's happened. I doubt it'll be the last. If it's not that, they're doing other stupid things. Do you remember that? Oh, it was a long time ago. It was a coach on the M40. You remember it?
No.
When there's maintenance on the motorways here, they have like a truck, and on the back of the truck, it has an arrow, and the arrow kind of points down to the left usually. And the idea is to indicate to you that you should be on the left of the truck while the truck is doing maintenance. So it's the dead of night. There were at this stage, and I think this is probably still true, there were no lights on this motorway. So the only bits of motorways in the UK that actually have lights on are where you are coming on and off at junctions. The rest of it can be pitch black. There's a good 30-mile stretch of the M6 that is totally pitch black. I know that for a fact. It was also completely isolated. It was like being in the outback in Australia, 3,000 miles from civilization, because if you got through that, if you were doing 60, 70 miles an hour, you know, it would take you like half an hour or so. But if you were going a little bit faster, you could kind of cut a lot off your journey. Saying no more than that, but I am aware of that. And this part of the M40, which goes from London to Birmingham, was pitch black. So these two coaches are going along. I think they were smallish coaches, but they must have had about 20 students on each. They were a band, I think, and they were coming back from a concert. And the driver was driving along and he sees this maintenance truck with the back lit up and the arrow pointing down to the left. So pitch black, he can't see anything, but he knows he needs to be on the left-hand side of this thing. So he pulls across to get on the left-hand side of it. But what he didn't realise was, because they should have turned the lights off, what he didn't realise was this thing was already sat on the hard shoulder. So he just drove the bus off the motorway because it was pitch black. I mean, why they don't put lights on the whole thing but not actually turn them on all the time, I don't know. But if there's some kind of maintenance, then you do need to see where you're going. By the time he realized, it was far too late, and I think both buses, one went into the back of this truck. There was an almighty fire and so many of the children died. I'd be so worried letting a child out of my sight when I see the idiots that are out there. How my mother ever let me go to France when I was 12, I do not know. I do remember I saved some money up. I think I saved about 14 francs up. And on the Friday night, I think we'd been gone since the Monday. On the Friday night, there was a payphone in this place and no one had like worked out how it worked before the Friday. And we were heading back over the weekend, like to get back on the Sunday, I think. But somebody had worked out what number you needed to add to your phone number to be able to call home. So I waited till like 6 o'clock on the Friday night. And I think back in those days, you just had to work on the principle. If you hadn't heard, then everything was fine. But I knew Mum and Dad would be home by 6 o'clock. So I'm queuing up for the phone and I get there and I've got 14 francs, which was like £1.40 back in the day. So I puts me like 2 francs in, manages to dial. And she picked up and said, you know, hello. Do you remember the telephone voice of the 80s? Hello, the Giles household speaking. It was like Hyacinth Bouquet. And I said, hiya, Mum. She just burst out crying. You all right? I said, yes, of course I am. Just because I've got some money and I'm making a phone call. Say hello. Oh, my word. I would be so worried. I mean, you got a picture, didn't you, the other day of your nephew?
Yeah.
Getting on the school bus. But the school bus wasn't a bus like that. It was a coach. So it would have got through that tunnel. It's only a single decker thing. But most school buses do look like that. They are double decker buses.
It says school on the side. It's spelled S-K-O-O-L. And the two O's. Two little eyes.
That is a really posh looking coach, isn't it?
It is.
Look at his face. He's got a lovely smile.
Yeah, he's got more hair than me.
He has. But then he had more hair than you when this calamity started.
I'm giving him a good run for his money.
Oh, you are.
There,
but... Right, let's have a look here. I've tried to go into a car park with a tall roof box on, hit the warning blank. They have outside show the height restriction sounded like biggest glockenspiel. Oh, Simon. Oh, wow. Paul's dad drove a bus into a bridge. I thought Mrs. Simon might remember him doing it. I trust you enjoyed the awkward reversing back down, though. And now you've been able to share it with us, so his humiliation is now complete. Loving it. Hitting a rock is a totally different business. I mean, I'm presuming it was on the floor. Hmm? But hitting something that you can clearly see is a whole different business. See you tomorrow, Jonathan. Say hello to Mummy Isaacs and Daddy Isaacs. I don't know how my mother coped with that week, because I know what I'm like when Lola's not here. So I really don't know how she coped. Oh, that was a good trip, actually, apart from the fact I didn't really fit in. I remember clearly one day stopping off for food, and it was like chicken drumstick type stuff, which was bearable. Wonder we didn't all get E. coli. But the only thing that they had to drink, you've got X or you've got Y, they said. I thought, well, at least there's a choice. And then they said it's Pepsi or Cola. And I thought I couldn't drink either of that. It's drain cleaner, isn't it? That's what we use it for.
We use it for toilet cleaner.
It's fabulous cleaning toilets, but, you know, I wouldn't drink it. Isn't it true? It can dissolve a tooth in 4 days.
Probably.
Yeah, that's why I don't drink it. No, not putting that anywhere near. Especially seeing as though I'm not going to see my dentist till next March, barring catastrophes. And I'd rather not have any catastrophes until, well, at all, actually. Never mind till next March. But he's been a prize. Next March, we've got a date. Let's see how that goes. Coke, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola.
Not that kind of Coke, Kim.
Wrong kind of Coke, Kim.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it was Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola, and I didn't drink either. But it looks disgusting.
Anthony did that experiment at school.
Stop drinking it after that. Oh, no, I think what we did at school with it, they put a piece of steak in it. Now, obviously, the steak is a tooth.
I think we did it with a 2p piece.
We did that with salt and vinegar, and it cleaned it.
Yeah.
You know, when it fizzes up.
Yeah.
But the Coca-Cola test was we put a piece of meat in it, steak, and it just disintegrated, you know, really quickly. The tooth would take a lot longer. But, you know, after you've seen that, because we also did the lung thing. Did anybody do the lung thing? Oh, that was vile. They showed us some pictures of smokers' lungs, and obviously they were black. Then they showed us a video. This was all to stop you smoking. My dad smoked. I heard him cough in the morning. I was a non-smoker from day one. But they then showed you a video of obviously like a post-mortem autopsy. And they'd taken these lungs out and they were holding them over a silver tray and they started to squeeze and the black tar ran out of them. So at this point, I'm like, yeah, no, no. But then they had like what looked like, do you remember wormeries? Did you have a wormery at school?
No.
It's like...
Worms live.
Yes. Yes, basically. It's like two pieces of glass held together in a wooden frame and there's lots of soil in it and then you put the worms in and the worms live in the wormery.
Oh.
So it's quite narrow. You know, like a game of Connect Four?
Yeah.
Looks a little bit like that. So we had this kind of wormery thing, only it wasn't a wormery. It was a little bit bigger than that. And they put like cotton wool in it to represent a lung. Then they put like a cigarette in it and there was like a pump that pulled that basically smoked the cigarette. This is sounding very bizarre, isn't it? But honestly, that's what happened in our science class. So this pump pulled, it was like it was pulling through from the cigarette. And this cotton wool just went yellow and then orange and then brown and then black. And the whole kind of structure of the cotton wool just collapsed into this tar-ridden heap. There were people actually running out to be sick outside. And yeah, I wonder how many of our generation still smoke.
Mm.
There's no way I would have done when I started that, but there you go. you did do the smoker's lung thing. If you've got a bottle, put a mint in it, it explodes. I've not heard that one, Anthony.
No, I've not heard that
one. I won't bother buying one to find out, but we do have a bottle next to the toilet. Oh, Kim did a science fair thing about smoker's lung. It does make you wonder what's in it, doesn't it? And the fact that people are like, a lot of our friends when we're out, it's like, oh, I'm being good tonight. I'll have a Diet Coke. And I'm like, oh my God, what's worse than Coca-Cola? Diet Coca-Cola, where they've taken out the genuine sugar and replaced it with another load of chemicals. And people actually sit and drink it. And then they look at me strangely because I'm drinking water. There's something wrong with these people. Oh, I'll have to go on YouTube and have a look for a video of this mint Coke explosion. I must admit, I did do that with some potassium something or other. I had a chemistry set.
I had a chemistry set.
Yeah, I love that. I did love that. Did you do the iron filings thing?
Yep.
It was blue, so I know it was potassium. And you were supposed to put something else in it, and then you put the cork in the test tube, and it blew the cork out the test tube. And my mum's just sat there watching me like, I don't think you cut out to be a scientist, dear. Why don't you buy a computer? She was quite right. It was too much like cooking for me. The Coke thing is usually meant at... Right, I'm going to check for that, Simon. I am going to have a look at that. Something to do with the rough surface of the mint causing the carbon dioxide bubbles to expand. Fascinating. The one use I have found for stuff like that is salt, vinegar and bicarbonate of soda. And what had happened was, typical of my father, half a job. Why do the whole job when you can do half a job? When we moved in, we had a fence at the front, well, the side. And this fence did not go all the way to the gatepost because there was this holly bush there. And it was a lovely holly bush. You know, no one was breaking in. You'd have to crawl through this holly bush. But after a while, it did look a bit, you know, tired. So Mum decided it was going and we were replacing it with a fence panel. So he had to dig it out. And true to form with my father, it was like, you know, I've done it. She comes out and she says, no, I want the roots out as well. Well, no one's going to see them. She said, I want the roots out. And her logic was it could start growing again, or the roots would just carry on growing, you know, not necessarily the tree growing, but the roots growing downwards. So she wanted it off. I've got the video on, Simon.
Yeah, me too.
The lady is about to, she's taking the lid off the bottle. It's already looking a bit giddy with itself. How many is she putting in? One. Oh my God! She didn't even get a chance to get the lid on it. And this is why we don't drink the stuff. Oh, so my mum's tree, she insisted he take the roots out. So he dug a bit deeper. And he didn't take the roots out properly. But he was dead before it was an issue, which was just as well because she would have killed him. And what happened was, it wasn't that the holly tree started to grow. And we've no idea what happened at the other end, you know, with the roots growing downwards. But what it did do was feed mushrooms. So this patch of what was now soil, where this holly tree had been, now used to sprout mushrooms. And I mean in like 20 minutes. You'd be in the garden and you'd think, yep, yeah, it's clear. You'd go out 20 minutes later to put something in the bin and the place was covered in mushrooms. I've never seen anything grow so fast. So I there was obviously all this stuff you could buy, special garden stuff to nuke mushrooms. But we couldn't use it because it was toxic and we had to look after Maya. So it's like, well, what can I put down that isn't exactly toxic that a dog wouldn't sniff and drop as soon as they've sniffed it? So I've got this recipe off the internet. So I'm out there with boiling water, vinegar, salt and bicarb. And Mum's got Mayor on the lead, like looking from a distance. And I said, I don't know how this is going to end, so don't stand too close. So I put the salt went on first, followed by the bicarb, then followed by the vinegar, and then the water to kind of cleanse it all away when you'd done. Oh, it was like magic. This was like a bed of mushrooms. And some of them were quite big, weren't they? There were small clusters, but there were some big mushrooms. And the whole lot just disintegrated into like a black tar, which you could then get off with a shovel, just put it in the bin. Well, after I'd done it about 3 or 4 times, they didn't grow back again. So I have done that. And we did need to do that, didn't we, with the bin?
Yeah.
Is anybody eating? Because if you are, you might not want to listen to this. It was when they decided we needed more bins. I know we already have four bins, but they decided we needed a vegetable container thing in the kitchen. So not that large, and they gave you recyclable bags for it. And then you were supposed to take that out and put that in the green bin.
Yeah.
Be the green bin, I think. So that was one, and another was a box. So it was like a storage box, and you were supposed to put, I think it was tins in that one. Well, that would have been six different bins, and it wasn't happening. It ended up, you know. But what happened with this one was, Mike had finished his breakfast and he'd gone out to throw this, you know, like the dregs of his breakfast straight into the bin. So we didn't have to use this thing in the kitchen, because I'd said to Mum, do not use that thing in the kitchen. And she was like, well, that's what it's for. And that's what they want us to do. And I said, do not use that in the kitchen. I said, it'll get infested. I said, and worse still, so will the kitchen. It was July. It was the height of summer. It was about 120 in the shade. So Mike lifts the bin lid outside, and the whole thing was alive with maggots. So he nearly threw up and he shut the bin lid. Like, what the hell do I do now? And it turns out my father, what planet he was on. Actually, was that his last summer? Or the one before? I think it was one before, wasn't it? He couldn't eat that much, and he didn't want to tell my mum that he couldn't eat that much. So he threw a ham sandwich away. And this was the next morning. It was alive. So we ended up with that. We had to empty the entire bin. And, you know, so all because he was too stupid. You don't put that in the bin. We had to empty the entire bin. It must have taken us about 5 hours. We had to put boiling water in the bin. The smell would have knocked a donkey out. We had to put vinegar in it. We had to put bicarb in it. We had to order extra bicarb. So we had this huge tub of bicarb arrive, because they would have just carried on breeding. So it had to be emptied down to nothing. Oh, I tore him a new one over that. Because, you know, it fell to Mike and I. And we're trying to look after Maya. We're trying to keep Mum away from it. The toxic fumes. I think we did have masks on back then, didn't we? It was that bad. And then this concoction just kind of came up to like half the bin, which would be about 3 foot tall, about 2 foot square. And it had to go down the grid. Oh, what jobs we've had, trust me. And then I said to Mum, I'm going to order some Coca-Cola and put that in it, just to make absolutely sure that this bin was clean. But, you know, that's when the internet really came into its own. Because, you know, you're online and you're researching, like, what can I do with a bin? And they're giving you ideas of like, would have thought of boiling water, but I wouldn't have thought of that. And it was the order that you had to do it in, that you could boil the water with the salt, and then if you heated up the vinegar in a microwave, so you're actually putting the concoction together but it's actually hot, then it was like instant annihilation for this thing. But that took us hours to sort out. Hours. So we're very careful with the bins, aren't we?
We are.
Yes.
Right, I've got a question.
Go on.
Well, I booked an order 9 till 10 Saturday, Tesco.
Right. What they're short of this week?
Don't interrupt.
Ooh.
Ruin the story. So I know I can put the stuff in the basket up to sort of 11:30, 11:45 tomorrow night. I'm trying to get ahead of myself.
No good ever comes.
I mean, it doesn't actually matter when you put it in the basket, because it's if you put it in the basket a week last Friday and they haven't got it in stock, you're not going to get it anyway. So it's irrelevant. But I'm trying to get ahead of myself. So I logs into Tesco's website, and it wouldn't log me. Well, it logged me in, and then it said, "Oops, something's gone wrong."
Oh, I saw that all the time at the beginning of lockdown.
So I goes on Twitter and I searches for Tesco, and yeah, they've got a problem with their website. So I thought, right, I know what I'll do. I'll go and have a look at Asda.
Mrs. Have You Gods.
So I booked a slot on Saturday night with Asda.
Oh, now it's a head-to-head, is it?
Some of the stuff's a bit cheaper, but they haven't got the sliced meat. But they have got the sliced meat at Tesco, and if we get enough, it'll be, with a few more bits, it'll get it to the 40 quid, which is the minimum that you'd have to pay for the delivery charge. But that's at the same time. So, if, is it bad form to have Tesco's and Asda turning up at your house at the same time? Is it like the wife of the mistress?
Oh my God, given how many cars are out there, they'll never find anywhere to park. To be honest, you might get away with it. Because Tesco, you order more with them, that's the wife, tend to arrive early. And Asda tend not to.
That's the mistress.
Yeah. You shouldn't know about these things. You should be innocent.
I am innocent.
I like that. I like you innocent.
Do you like my analogy?
I do. I do. You're a very bad boy. I honestly don't know. They probably know each other. Anyway, they'd have to socially distance, so it won't end up in a scrap, will it?
Well, no. It's not going to be a scrap, is it?
Oh, you never know. You
no,
never
know. No, because I've seen people that work in Tesco. I mean, this is going back months, obviously, because I've not been to sale for ages. But no, I've seen people who work in Tesco's in
Asda. Yeah, they know each other. Do you know what it's going to be like eventually? Like Kim says, 2 to 3 years, and I totally agree. Can you imagine that the great day comes and you're like, oh, we can venture out?
The great day did come, 4th of July, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean the real one. Not the one. Not when Boris says it's safe, when I think it's safe.
All right.
About 2028, probably. No, can you imagine the grand day comes? It's going to be like one of those sci-fi films. You know, the kind of apocalyptic ones where you venture out and you go to sale and you're like, didn't look like this in my day. They could have flying cars by then or anything.
What's this Fallout stuff?
They'll still have socially distancing signs, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, 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 dear me. No. No, I think you'll be okay.
Oh, you know that Event City?
Yeah.
It's shutting down.
What, permanently?
Yeah, they were going to shut it down anyway and move near that soccer dome thing, whatever it is.
The car, the travel
thing,
isn't it?
And now
they're
shutting it down totally and not reopening.
Oh, there's not much point, is there? Event City is like the NEC in Birmingham. It's a huge convention centre and they have had quite a few events on there, you know, like toy fairs and pet fairs. But the problem with it is it's right next to the Trafford Centre and the car parking situation is abysmal. So if they ever have anything on, no one can move anywhere. There's like literally gridlock for 3 or 4 hours before it starts and the same when it ends. So where you're talking about them moving would take a lot of the traffic away from the Trafford Centre. So it would have made sense to move. Thing is, it's not been there that long and they've actually built a metro station next to it called Event City. And now they're moving. No, clearly nobody wants to go to any events. No accounting for taste. Which I wouldn't have gone to events anyway. Just me. We're going to have online parties. So you've been warned. I expect you to get party poppers in and silly hats. We're going to do the whole thing. It's got to be done properly. Our only entertainment, but we can be entertaining, trust me. And I think we should charge Simon with getting in the Coca-Cola and the mints, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be Simon's party piece. I shall leave Mrs. Simon in charge of that. She can acquire the supplies and that Simon can show us how it's done. I reckon to get the lid on it, you'd have to only have a tiny bit at the bottom. See, I'm turning it into a science thing now. There's actually recommended me one thing here. One video after that video, and it's a kid, and there's like, it's a thumbnail and it says 100-foot-high epic Coke and Mentos rocket launch. So this thing took off like a rocket. You know, this could be really dangerous, couldn't it? Now you know why I don't drink the thing. Oh, Mrs. Simon says I have to get an Amazon order in. Sounds like a good isolation project. Exactly. You tape it to the cap until you shake it up. Oh, Kim, even better idea. Do you get the sense these people have done this before? You are all experts. What are you like? No, I'm not going to try that. No. But I'm going to leave Mrs. Simon in charge of supervising Simon. He could do it in the basement with the sump pump. This is what's needed.
Yeah.
Really test the sump pump. And he's only just put it in. Doesn't want to have to replace it again. Oh, absolute classics.
I'll leave you to test that out, Mrs. ST.
There's a video here and it says, why do Mentos,
isn't it?
And soda react? So it actually explains why. I haven't watched that one yet. But I'm guessing it's going to depend on what's actually in it. But yeah, it would be a good idea. If it didn't with the fruit ones, you could pop a fruit one in anyway. And then when you put the mint with it, you'd get maybe a coloured explosion. These are things that need to be tested. Kim says, by the end of 3 years, you and Mike will be shooting these off in the front garden while I'm sending them out for help. 3 years. What, is that from last year? So would it be 2022? No, 20. 21. 1, 2. No, it'd be 2023. Yeah, I can see it being 2023. But, you know, if this had to happen, which obviously it's happened, so it's not much we can do. At least with it happening now, we're all connected, or if we choose to be connected, we have technology to connect us. I'm just thinking, can you imagine this happened in the early 80s when all you had was a phone? I can't imagine not being able to see my grandmother. That would be incredibly difficult. I mean, people are saying that now. There were some interviews with people and they were saying, you know, the kids are really going to be upset at Christmas because they want to see the grandparents. And, you know, I can kind of mentally filter that out because I won't be seeing my grandparents at Christmas. But when I actually think, you know, what if this had happened in the 80s and you couldn't see your grandmother? Oh, hang on a minute. But you know what I don't understand with that? They can't see their grandparents. Just an idea. Or have I come in at the wrong reel with this?
FaceTime, Zoom.
No. I'm talking about actually having Christmas. Yeah. Right. You cannot legally, £100 fine, whatever, just pay it. But apart from that, you can't legally meet up with more than 6 people unless your household is more than 6 people. And then obviously you can meet with the people in your household. Right. If Granny had broken her hip and the hospital had kicked her out, she'd be staying with you anyway. Then you'd be allowed to. So why don't, right, the family, you know, your family, self-isolate for 14 days, starting like the 10th of December. And Granny and her household self-isolate for 14 days and then move in together.
Yeah, because there's a meme going around Facebook.
Go on, I haven't seen Facebook.
Snow White.
Oh, and the Seven and Dwarfs. Seven Dwarfs.
And Snow White says, Boris says on Monday, 2 of you will have to off.
Oh, no, that wasn't the one I saw.
Oh.
No, the one I saw about Snow White was the Seven Dwarfs have just watched Boris's presentation and one of them isn't happy.
Oh, I'll see that one as well, yeah.
But you see, they're okay because they're a unit. They're a household. But if two households have isolated completely and they've not gone anywhere, and at the end of their 2 weeks, they're both okay, then why doesn't one move in with the other for Christmas? Or have I missed something? Is it just Boris being stupid? Because, you know, that happens quite a lot. Oh, dear. Deb, that's awful. I haven't seen my daughter in 9 months. But if you self-isolated first, I really can't see what the government would have against it. I mean, clearly they'll have something against it. They're the government. But that's heartbreaking. There was a guy over here. I don't know if this would do you any good, Deb. He built this thing. It was like a plastic sheet. Do you remember it? A huge plastic sheet, like hanging from a washing line or two poles in the garden. And what he'd done was he'd cut two holes in it for the arms. And then he'd created plastic arms and attached them to the two holes. And then he did the same in reverse. And then he brought his mum in. And at this stage, I don't think they've been able to hug for like 4 months. And she put her arms through, well, into these arms on her side. And he put his arms into the arms on his side. And they hugged each other. And it was all over the news and everyone was crying. Oh. You know, although they weren't actually touching, it was like the closest you would get. That's just so heartbreaking. Anthony, that's a good one. I saw one that said Sneezy was out. That's what I mean, Kim. So, you know, self-isolate for 2 weeks and then you're safe. And obviously, as long as the place you're going to, so in this case, son and daughter-in-law or otherwise, you know, son and daughter, and the new grandchild, if they've self-isolated too, I can't see that that's not safe. This is going to sound terrible. It's going to try and sound very ageist of me. But, you know, it's kids getting together and having parties that are the problem. The police actually put out footage of a party from last weekend. And there must have been about 200 kids just sat around smoking and drinking together. Then they're going home and that's how other people are getting infected in the homes. So what Boris is thinking is instead of making it logical that we can do what we've just discussed, he's got to make it simple across the board. No more than six people can meet up, end of. But as I was pointing out, you know, you've got, we discussed a group of seven where one would have to kind of stay out, but you could swap over the next day and that's just as dangerous. And he's not done anything about that. He is also actively, still proactively encouraging you to go to the pub and eat out because of the economy, which, you know, but you still can't see granny. People are going to get sick of this. I think if he'd have been at the very beginning, if he'd have said, we're going into lockdown, we're going into lockdown for 12 weeks. And at the end of 12 weeks, I will reconsider what's going on. But you must observe these rules for 12 weeks. I think we'd have been in a much stronger position than we are now. But people who go out and meet up, I mean, it's like that. One, they don't care about themselves. But two, they don't care about their immediate family then either. And I can't understand it. I mean, obviously, when this happened, which was only yesterday, wasn't it? It seems like longer. But when it was like, OK, so he's putting these measures in place and he's given no review date. And unofficially, and this is how our government work, they'll put it out in the press and then they'll see how the land lies. And if nobody kicks up too much of a fuss, that'll become the policy. And I'm not even joking there. That is how they work. No one's particularly kicked off over, it could be 6 months. They're a bit peeved, you know, might impact Christmas. But other than that, not really kicked off much. So I'd have to say the policy now is this is going to be in place for the next 6 months. With flu season on the rise and the, I think we're up to 3,000 cases a day with a population of about 65 million. I don't know how that translates to your global figures in the US, you know, statewide. But at 6 months, yep, can definitely see it. So the first thing Mike and I did was sit down and say, right, well, that's 6 months. So we're not going out on any of those days. And we'll put the show here and we'll do that there. And, you know, you are actively planning for 6 months now, not a month. But there you go. That's our government barking mad. New Zealand was COVID free and then it reared its head again. Asymptomatic people out there. They were completely COVID-free, but they were letting people in. But as I understood it, they were putting them into quarantine for 14 days. None of this self-isolating stuff. They were actually in a lockdown centre. So I don't really know where that came from again over there. But at least they have very, very quickly. I mean, I think she's fantastic, the PM. There's none of this like playing up to the cameras and stuff. She just seems to do what is right. And unfortunately, our politicians are like bumbling idiots. Did you see the front of the Daily Star that I posted? That's our health secretary. He's an imbecile. It really is that bad. And he is only one of many. I know the press have a lot to do with how they're portrayed. But trust me, these folks don't help themselves when it comes to idiocy. They'll just spout the government line. And when it's proved to be completely wrong, they're still spouting it. They really don't care. Anyway, we will head off. I am up to the eyes with things to do for Two Show Friday. And it's sounding as though I'm going to have to up my game because Jonathan is upping his. A 5-hour nap, Mike. Possibly predicting a point for Jonathan, unless we go until 5 in the morning. We'll see how that pans out. We will go and sort ourselves out. I haven't heard where the new Zealand's cases came from. No, neither did I. But I did hear that about the ones in Melbourne, which sounded very dodgy, that they'd outsourced the security and that's where it came from. Can't see New Zealand doing that, but you don't know. Tell you what, homework, Paul. Go find out and share it with us tomorrow. Because you're far closer to New Zealand to find the truth than we are. We've got to wade through all of our garbage before we can find anything else. But we will head off now and see you tomorrow. So for the moment, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.